So today we go on. So I encourage you, that was a very brief recap. If you want to know exactly what I said when the Holy Spirit just hit me last week, go back and have a listen, because a lot that I said is not in my notes. Okay, so after understanding the call to stillness, there is point two that you see up there, knowing God in stillness. That is a gift, to know him in your stillness. You know, as we embrace stillness, we encounter the profound truth of knowing God intimately. Intimately. As close as a best friend is the Holy Spirit, closer within us. Stillness is not merely an absence of noise, but a posture of openness to God's presence. We need to be open to his presence. It's not just about being still. It's about being saying, like Samuel, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Speak to me. Because he wants to speak to you. It's in the quiet moments of prayer, in meditation and reflection, that we deepen our relationship with him. Without that, we're hearing nothing else but what's going on around us. That noise. Knowing God brings assurance, peace, and a renewed perspective amidst all of life challenges. You know, constantly we face challenges. You might have faced one this morning before you got here. I want to thank you and praise God that you came today. You might have faced a great challenge to even sit in that seat. Whatever it is. What we need to understand is that we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against what? Darkness and principalities beyond our understanding. But the truth is, we need to understand that for you even to get to church, the enemy can send demons to you to make you not come, to make you distracted, to make you think you can do it without God. But the truth is that we, even through the week, we need each other. We need each other's prayers. We need each other's love. We need each other to battle what we need to battle through the week outside of these doors. But the fact that you come to hear this message, that God is instilling something fresh and new within your spirit, is an incredible thing. You had a choice today and you chose to come. So well done, good and faithful servant. In Psalm 62, 5-6, in the NLT, it reads this: let all that I am wait patiently before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. So this tells me that when you place God, when your hope is in him, that very anchor to Jesus, that very anchor in our soul, he becomes that rock, that salvation, that foundation that we build our lives upon, and my fortress even, and where will I be shaken? The truth is, when God has got you like this, the enemy cannot shake you, because you are standing on a firm foundation. You are standing on a firm foundation. Now, at conference, we heard a great message about the nevertheless. The nevertheless. Nevertheless. So this is happening. This is happening. This is happening. One day I'll steal it from Jenny and share it, our new national leader's wife. But the truth is, we need to have that nevertheless, because God is always going to be coming through that nevertheless. This might be happening right now. This might be taking place in your life right now. But there is a nevertheless in God. He always comes through. He is your provider. He is your protector. He is your promise. And there will always be a nevertheless in your circumstances, your health issues, what you're going through. There will always be a nevertheless in your life. So these verses I just read you from Psalm 62 echo the theme of waiting patiently before God. Here the psalmist expresses unwavering confidence in God as their source of hope and security. The imagery of God as a rock and a fortress underscores his unchanging nature and reliability. There is nothing you can rely on in this world. Nothing. But there is one thing you can. Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, our God. You can depend on them and be reliable. They will always be there for you and me. As we wait patiently before him, our faith is strengthened and we find refuge from life's storms. In Isaiah 46:10, part A of the verse, it says, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Only God can preempt us. I don't know about you, but I dream about things. I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. We wouldn't be here today in our own building, 10 years planning down in McLarenvale. We would not be here today without God's visions and dreams upon my life to then encourage you that this is our next step. For a while there, the early church down in McLarenvale never thought we were going to get a building. Up to date, I have put in 5 proposals and applications for buildings for Arise to be where it is today. And when we plant a church, it will do the same because I've got a planter's heart. So as we do that, we will do the same. It'll be applications, proposals, not only here, but also to the councils. But the truth is, only he tells us, told me that before it happened. And because of that, God makes a way, opens a door, and does things that no man can shut. And he will open doors that no man can shut. He will close doors that no man can open. In Isaiah 46:10, it highlights to us God's, the one I've just read out, unique ability to declare the future with precision and certainty. There is a certainty in that verse. This verse reminds us of God's omniscience, of sovereignty, his sovereignty over time and history. Trusting in him means entrusting our future into his capable hands. As we surrender our plans and dreams to God, we acknowledge his authority and wisdom to guide us into his perfect timing and perfect will of God. You know, when we submit to this, and trust in it, we have transformation through the Holy Spirit. Transformation will come over your life. No longer it is I, but it is we. Us and Holy Spirit. Paul underscores the transformative impact of surrendering our minds to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians. When we yield to the Spirit's guidance and allow him to influence our thoughts and desires, we experience true life and peace. This isn't merely a change of behavior, but a profound inward renewal that aligns us with God's will. In Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, it says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life." This is what Paul is saying. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature. You see, it's an invitation. We can either choose to put it on or ignore it. The only way we find that stillness and that peace and that transformation is to put on the new nature. Okay, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, Paul encourages here in these verses to discard our old sinful nature and embrace our new identity in Christ. As I've said a million times before, he cannot love you any more than he already loves you right now. He will never change. No matter what we go through, no matter what sin that goes through our life, he is waiting for the prodigal son and daughter to return, repent, and ask for forgiveness. But it is a choice to put on that new nature. It's a choice. This involves a continual process of renewal by the Holy Spirit, transforming our thoughts, transforming our attitudes to align with God's righteousness and holiness. It's a choice. The Spirit-filled mind cultivates virtues such as the gifts, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favorite, self-control. These are the things that happen. In Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it tells us those verses. But we have a choice. So point one, when we understand the call to stillness, then number two, we can know God in stillness. When we submit to his will, when we surrender, an act of surrender to know it. To put the magnifying glass not on those around us and finger point, which the word tells us not to do, because when you're pointing one finger at one person, he's pointing how many back at you? A lot. God's saying, look in the mirror, what do you see? Okay, so number one, when we understand the call to stillness. Number two, God knows, know God in stillness. And number three, it comes from honoring God's sovereignty. We forget we serve a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And may I tell you, he is bigger, larger, more majestic than any other little K king on this earth. When we stand before Jesus, when we look into his eyes, none of us will stand. Because the reverence and the power of who he is will make us fall to our knees. And yes, we must all give an account. That's not a condemnation. That's just the word of God. We will, including me. In fact, being a pastor, I will be weighed much heavier than you for what I did say, for what I didn't say, for how I acted or how I didn't act. The word tells us that. So, but we got to understand that we serve a king who is sovereign. He is more sovereign than Charles. He is more sovereign than any other king, princess, or she's not now, Queen Mary, you know, over in Denmark. Much more sovereign. You know, the psalmist declares, I'm about to read the verse in 115:1, that God will be honoured by every nation and throughout the world. Embracing stillness and knowing God positions us to recognise his supreme authority over all circumstances. When we honour God's sovereignty, we align our lives with his purposes and bring glory to his name. Our trust in him becomes a testimony of his faithfulness to a watching world. You know, people watch what we do. We might go, oh, yeah, I go to church. I trust God. But they wait for us to slip up. And because we're not perfect, we do. None of us are perfect. None of us are Jesus. They're watching us. They're watching the church. They are watching the global church. They are watching how we respond, how we act. They were watching that priest who was stabbed by a young man who came into his service, stabbed. And the first thing he did, I heard, was lay a hand on him and pray for him. Well, he could have been dying. He was praying for that young man's soul. The world are watching. That was an intense declaration of what Christ would have done. You know, it's not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, hey? Turn the other cheek, then turn the other cheek, then turn the other cheek. You know, in Psalm 115:1, it says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. You know, it tells us in this verse, it directs our focus to the glory of God alone. In a world that often exalts human achievements and ambitions, this verse calls us to humility and reverence before the Lord. All glory and honor belong to him because of his unwavering love and faithfulness to us. As we live our lives, may we reflect this truth by attributing every success and blessing to God's grace and mercy. Like Tyson said, it was not him, but the Holy Spirit that was moving through him in those instances where God gets that glory. Revelation 5:13, in part B of that verse, right at the end, says, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. In this verse, we get a glimpse, the heavenly chorus, this is what it will be together, singing, declaring the eternal praise and worship due to God. This scene reminds us of the ultimate purposes of our lives, to honour and glorify God both now, right now, not just in eternity when we're all together and it's going to be easy, right now, in the circumstances of struggle, in the circumstances of pain, in the circumstances of sickness, in the circumstances of things that we struggle with right now. As believers, we are called to align our hearts with this heavenly anthem, offering our lives as living sacrifices in adoration of the one who reigns forever and ever and ever and ever. These passages collectively convey the profound truths of resting in God's presence, trusting in his sovereignty, and giving him the glory he deserves. As we meditate on these verses, may we cultivate a lifestyle of stillness, surrender and praise, honoring God in every aspect of our lives, regardless of what's happening within them. Let us wait patiently before him, confident in his unchanging love and faithfulness, because he is faithful to you.
We need to embrace stillness. Commit to setting aside intentional time for stillness in God's presence each day. Use this time for prayer, for reading scripture and listening to his voice. We need to deepen our relationship with him, to seek to know God more intimately through personal study of his word and participation in corporate worship and fellowship. Thank you for coming today. You're awesome. We need to honor God's sovereignty, to live each day with a conscious awareness of God's sovereignty over our life. He is our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Morning Star. If that does not stir the spirit within you, he is our King. Trust him completely and let your life reflect his glory to everyone around you, even your enemies. You know, it's important to have an application of spiritual mindset. To apply this truth, we must actively engage in renewing our minds through God's word in prayer. Romans 12:2 says this, and we all know this verse. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's what the word does. His word, God breathes sharper than a double-edged sword, defining bone, you know, soul and spirit, bone and marrow. That is the power of the living word. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, Paul instructs believers in Romans 12:2 to reject conformity to the world's standards and instead allow God to renew their minds. This transformation is crucial for discerning and following God's perfect will and leading to a life that pleases him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to please the world. I don't want to please them. I want to please God. As we immerse ourselves in scripture, our thoughts are aligned with God's truth. Our desires are transformed according to his will. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word, O Lord, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path. Without his word, we are walking in darkness. We are being led by the world, not by the light. In this verse, the psalmist extols the illuminating power of God's word. The scriptures serve as a source of guidance and direction, lighting our path and showing us the way to walk in God's truth. So this process enables us to discern God's voice amidst the noise.